Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Down 31-16. Fourth down. Mariota looking for it all. End zone. Touchdown. Deebo Samuel with the silencer.
You know, the big injuries were on offense. The offense really wasn't the problem yesterday, although I did have some thoughts, and I will share them with you, about Cliff Kingsbury's play calling. Good morning, everybody. Max is back. Ben will join us at 12, but the next hour and a half are you and me. 34-27, the final, a loss that drops Washington to 2-2. It is way too early to think anything is the thing. You know, Green Bay was the best defensive team in the league over the first 3 weeks. They gave up 40 last night. The Falcons got beat 30-0 last week and couldn't do anything on offense. They put up 34 and 435 yards yesterday. The NFL, I mean, I don't know how much I need to beat this horse because we've been doing it for years, but it is a puzzle that never, ever gets close to being solved this time of the year. You think a piece fits, but it never does. Which is why Atlanta was going to be a difficult game going into it yesterday, despite how horrible that team looked a week ago. Recency bias as an NFL fan or as an NFL bettor or as an NFL pundit is so stupid and dangerous. Maybe in another 4 weeks, it'll probably take another six to have any clue as to who's really, really good and who isn't. We still have time. This team still has time. They are 2-2, and they are two full games back of the undefeated Eagles at 4-0 in the division. And all of a sudden, there are lots of 2-2 teams, and there's a 1-2-1 team. Two of them in our conference. By the way, unless they tie with each other, Green Bay and Dallas, you can't have a tiebreaker used when one team has a tie and the other one doesn't at the end of the year. We learned that a few years ago at 8-8-1, or when they were, you know, 7-5-1, and we were trying to figure everything out. That doesn't mean other teams won't have ties. They got to get rid of the tie. Didn't anybody see when they went to 10-minute overtimes and allowed a guaranteed possession for the other team that it increases the chances of a tie, not decreases it? You got to extend overtime to 15 minutes. That's for another day. It's so early. But all we have right now is yesterday's game and the one coming up. And the one coming up may look nothing like yesterday's game. Yesterday's game wasn't as much about our team as it was about their team, in my view. I'm not going to let the defense off the hook. I will not do that. But I talked all week about how this game was a setup the other way. Last week was a setup for our team to pummel the opponent. This week was a setup for the home team, the Falcons. They were so much more capable offensively than they showed last week against Carolina. And because this league is about motivation, it's about, you know, redeeming embarrassment, especially when you have talent, and Atlanta has talent, they were motivated, fired up, prepared, and ready to write the wrong of last week. It's just the way the NFL works. It's been this way for years. It is 100% standalone entities, these games, every single week. And the previous week really is never an indicator, especially early to mid-season. Atlanta needed it, and their best players played like they needed it. The best player on the field yesterday was Bijan Robinson. He is a legit superstar. Drake London is a legit number one wide receiver, played like it. Michael Penix Jr. in his seventh start, is a talent. And by the way, clearly resilient after last week. He was outstanding. Their offensive line, outstanding. Their coaching yesterday, outstanding. Everything lined up for them, not to mention the fact Washington was the wounded team coming in without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Now, the good news is that the news pregame and even during the game and even after the game, it does appear as if Jaden Daniels will return this coming week in LA against the Chargers. The reporting pregame from guys like Rappaport and others said that he was much closer to playing yesterday than he was a week ago, and the expectations are he will return next week in LA when Washington faces the Chargers. And that's important. They're 2-2, and the best player on their team, by miles, hasn't played in the last two games. They won one, they lost one. You know, Marcus Mariota had another good game. Maybe not as good as last week, but he was far from the problem yesterday. He played a solid game. Very solid. He's no Jaden Daniels. No, he isn't. This team is a playoff contender, fully healthy with their quarterback. And without him, and especially when they're not healthy, they're not a serious playoff threat. By the way, part of that is because we still don't know anything about this defense despite so many declarations after the Giant game and after the Raider game last week. I am going to give, when we get to our game take, a lot my game take. We're going to get to the reason more than any other that the game ended with the result it did. And I'm going to tell you, I think it was more about what Atlanta did offensively than what Washington did defensively. But that's not to take Washington's defense off the hook. It wasn't anywhere near good enough to win a game against a team like that in the setup and in the environment that they were in. You know, and it was way too early, way too quick to fire in with, oh, this defense is completely different than last year. You know, chess checkers with the front office, the scheme, everything. No, the Giants and Raiders are not only teams that are flawed offensively, they were hurt when they played Washington. No Andrew Thomas in that opener. He's rather important to the Giant offensive line. And the Raiders' best guard, Powers Jackson, was active but didn't play. So the defense has had two games against less than average offensive teams, and the feeling has been it's improved, it's much better, it might be a really good defense, and it's had two games against average to better than average offenses, not the best offenses in the league, and they have really struggled to the tune of, in two games against the Packers and the Falcons, giving up 61 points and 839 yards. And that's not because the offense is turning the ball over or special teams is giving up field position. That's not the reason. The reason is the defense in the two games it's played against legitimate offensive competition has been torched. Run on, thrown on, everything has been an issue. And I'll tell you what, I'm not sure what the problem is. I can identify 5-6 different things from yesterday's game, and they may be similar, but in some cases different from the Green Bay game, but it's still really hard to know whether or not it's scheme, play calling, or talent, players. I got this question yesterday right after the game from Darren. Darren wrote and said, Kevin, do they win the game today, meaning yesterday, with Jaden and Terry healthy? Yeah, I think there's a good chance they would have won that game yesterday. It would have looked like a lot of games last year. You know, defense struggles, but instead of kicking four field goals, they end up with another touchdown or two, and they end up winning a close game in the final minute. That's what happened last year. That game was that kind of game. If Jaden's in it, if Terry's in it, they miss Terry too. For those of you that keep saying somebody wrote me last week and very, very sarcastically said, Sheehan's got Terry as the 89th best receiver in the game. No, I don't have him that low. I definitely don't have him at the top of the list, though, which is where he and his agent thought that he was. And I think if you watch the rest of the league, you understand that. But he's the best they have, and they miss him. They miss the quarterback more. But yeah, I think absolutely having Jaden Daniels in that game and Terry McLaurin in that game yesterday would have been difference-making, for sure. But they didn't, and they lost the game. Injuries are a reality. They're not an excuse. They happen in the NFL, and they impact results. Terry's injury, more of a concern in terms of how much longer he will miss, and we'll follow that story all week, and we, of course, will follow the Jaden story all week as well. But it looks encouraging based on the reporting. I would assume that today, this afternoon, when Quinn speaks, we might learn more. But if he's smart, he'll play it out until at least Wednesday, when hopefully Jaden is a full go at practice, because they need him. The Chargers are next. The Chargers are coming off a loss to the Giants. Of course they are. It's the NFL. The Giants are 0-3. The Chargers are 3-0. The only thing I'm upset about is that was the game, and I talked about it on Friday. I really wanted to give out, but there was conflicting information from my sources offshore on that game, but it seemed like a smell test special, and I didn't give it out. But another massive winning week for the picks. 10-5-1 going into tonight, where I've got the Bengals plus 7.5. Of course, you have to have the Bengals. Why? Because they lost last week 48-10, just like the Falcons lost last week 30-0. Now, they don't have their starting quarterback. They've got Jake Browning, and they are on the road against a really good team, but still, look for them to play well tonight, or much better than they did last week. But the Chargers lose to the Giants. By the way, the Giants lost Malik Nabers more likely than not to an ACL. The Chargers just faced a defense, and we saw it in week one. The Giants are no joke defensively. No joke at all defensively. They have talent on defense. Jackson Dart threw for like a 110 or something like that, rushed for 54 yards. He was a difference maker for them because Russ has been so bad, or was in two of the three games. But that was, you know, a loss that I'm sure the Chargers didn't see coming. So they're going to be motivated next week to get back on track, especially since the Chiefs have won two straight and are starting to look like the Chiefs again as they're starting to get a little healthier. The Chargers are good, but Washington's hungry now, coming off yesterday's loss. They're going to be getting their best player back, hopefully, against the Chargers. This should be a really good football game Sunday. And definitely, I had a very good friend of mine yesterday, no, this morning, actually, tell me, no chance. No chance they can win if they play the way they did yesterday. Of course there's a chance, because they may not play like they did yesterday. They might be completely different next week. And we know this, at quarterback, there's a chance they will be a lot different next week. That's not a criticism of Marcus Mariota. Mariota did a good job, really good job, in the two games that he was out. Justin Herbert threw the ball up for grabs. He was pressured and under duress all day. That's going to be a key Sunday. Stopping the run, Omarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, had his first major big day, well over 100 yards, like 10-plus yards per carry. They've got receivers, including 97-year-old Keenan Allen back. This is a good team defensively. They get after it. Number 45 for them, the guy that I liked a few years ago out of USC, is an absolute terror. Derwin James is on that team. Bud Dupree's on that team. My guy Tarheeb Still, the Maryland corner, is on that team. They're going to be, they're well coached. We're well coached, I think, on offense. Maybe not yesterday. In defense, maybe not. The head coach is outstanding. Should be a good game. The early line on this one is the Chargers at home off that loss are three-point favorites. Three-point favorites. That is essentially, you know, a line that reflects that if this game were on a neutral field, it would be a push. Although it is in some ways in LA with the Chargers a neutral field environment. There will be, I promise you, a lot of Redskin fans there. A ton of Washington fans will be at SoFi next week. Looking forward to that, but we can't, you know, bury yesterday. We've got to go back and autopsy yesterday, which is exactly what I'll do when we come back. My game take next, probably 20, 25 minutes. You can start lining up on the phones and telling me what you think. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, every day you can watch us on our 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That you don't want to waste these opportunities. He's been tense in the past. He's aware of it. Good run. Rodriguez busting it to the outside. Chased down from behind.
Well, that was a nice run. 48 yards. They ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. Mariota to Luke McCaffrey. I would have loved to have seen Chris Rodriguez get more than 7 carries in the game. I would have loved to have seen old Bill. He is a runner. Love his style of running. I would have loved to have seen him get more than 7 carries in a game. In a game in which, once again, like last 2 weeks ago Thursday night, your defense wasn't going to be a big help. You needed to be a little bit closer in play count and time of possession count. All right, my game take, as always, kind of the things I liked, didn't like, and a few other observations. Again, I want to emphasize this about yesterday's game, because I hear it from all my friends, I hear it from my boys. Man, we just can't, we're not good enough. We stink. It's never about the other team. Green Bay was clearly the better team on that night. They rushed 4. They dominated the line of scrimmage. They covered, blanketed everybody. There was really no chance offensively on that given night. Yesterday, Atlanta was really good offensively. Drake London, Penix Jr., Bijan Robinson, that O-line, Algier, they were excellent in that game. Kyle Pitts. You know, Pitts has had an up-and-down start to his career. There is no doubt about that. There was a lot of, you know, issues with his work ethic, with his blocking, his willingness to block. But there's no doubt he is a legit talent as a receiver. That team has players. The question is, are they going to be kind of up and down with a young quarterback like most teams are with a young quarterback? But, man, I like Penix. Loved him coming out. I know he looked terrible last week, but that's going to happen with rookies. He was outstanding yesterday. But, yeah, run the football a little bit more. I'll hit that when I hit my list of things that I didn't like. But, again, overall, big picture for me, Atlanta won that game more than Washington lost that game. Doesn't mean I'm going to take the defense off the hook. We're Cliff Kingsbury off the hook. I'm not. All right, what did I like? I liked the big play yesterday. There were several of them. That 48-yard run by Rodriguez set up seven. The 58-yard kickoff return by Luke McCaffrey set up three. They're in the game at halftime, down 17-10, legitimately because of those two plays. You know, basically, you had 106 yards in two plays. You know, in the second half, they overcame a first and 30, and I'll tell you how they got there when I get to the list of things that I did not like from yesterday's game. They overcame a first and 30 by, you know, getting a chunk of it back on second down, and then on third and 14, Mariota scrambles for 22 yards. Big play. The 24-yard touchdown pass to Debo on fourth and three. Big play. The 25-yard deep shot to Debo on the final drive that drew a defensive pass interference penalty. Big play. The offense, the return game, made big plays, chunk plays in this game. I like that. The defense didn't do its part. The game was winnable. Number two on the list of things that I liked, the rush offense. I'm going to get to Kingsbury when I get to the next list, but how, like, I always feel like criticizing play calling is dangerous. Even Sonny Jurgensen, the great Sonny Jurgensen, used to say to me all the time, if I criticized play calling and he was listening, or if I did it on the pregame show, he would say, you don't know. You just don't know. You don't know how they practiced it. You don't know what they saw on tape. You just don't. There's too much. He goes, I don't question play calling. It's the one thing I steer clear of, Sonny used to say. But still, I'm going to do it anyway here. Rodriguez, 7 carries, 59 yards. Bill, 7 carries, 47 yards. Those two alone, 14 for 106. 7.5 yards per carry. 7.5 yards per carry on 14 carries in total. I mean, do you really need to know a lot more than that? That every single time, I understand Rodriguez had a big chunk run of 48 yards, and that means his other 6 carries were for 11 yards. I do understand that. I do. Bill was 7 for 47. He had a 16-yard run in there. So if you take out this 16-yarder, then you're at 6 for 31, which, by the way, is still over 5 yards per carry. But you can't do that, you know, because sometimes it's pressing, pressing, and then you break one. Although in the Rodriguez case, it was the first time he touched it. I look at 14 for 106, 7.5 yards per carry, and I say, why didn't they get it more? It's not like you were a home run through the air. It's not like you couldn't see that playing cliche complimentary football was going to be important because your defense was not going to get off the field on a regular basis. I thought the O-line did a good job. I thought the backs did a great job. In total, the team went 22 for 147. That's 6.7 yards per carry. That includes Debo's carries, McNichols, Chris Moore's one run, and Mariota's two runs. I think they should have done it more in yesterday's game. I think every game is different, but the context yesterday was you basically got doubled up in the first half on time of possession and on play count. I think running the football would have been the preference. I felt that way against Green Bay, but there were compelling reasons against Green Bay in the second half, or after Bates left early in the game, not to do it. They just didn't feel like they could. I still would have tried it because the other thing wasn't working. Yeah, Cliff can get pass happy and drop back and pass play happy. And look, some of the pass plays are run extensions. I'd like to see Bill get more than 7 touches. And if pass protection's an issue, get over yourself at this point. He's a good runner. He's a great instinctive feel, vision runner. Rodriguez has some of that too, and then is powerful on top of that. I think these two have to be, you know, more than 7-touch, 7-carry-a-game guys. At this point, I don't even care which one, although my preference would be Kroski Merritt. I think there's something about his running style that is really, like, it's not high level, it's not elite level, but it is far higher than average level. I love his instincts as a runner. I think they found something. Yes, needle in a haystack, seventh round running back, but we've seen it now in regular season games that matter. I'd like to see him get more than seven carries in a game. He had eight, remember, in the opener against the Giants, right? It was 10. 10 for 82 in that game. I mean, what is old Bill averaging now per carry? It's got to be something insane. I didn't even look at this. He's averaging 5.9 yards per carry. Okay? He's got 29 carries in four games. 29 for 172 yards. 5.9 yards, two touchdowns. I don't know. I think that is worthy of more examination from them. I understand that if he's not picking up certain things pass pro-wise, etc., teach him quickly because he needs to be on the field more. And if Rodriguez has the same issues, teach him, coach him up, get him out onto the field more. Running the football yesterday was definitely something they did very well. Next up on the list of things that I liked, the quarterback. Marcus Mariota had a pretty good encore for last week's main event. I mean, he was really good again. You know, I thought he felt pressure more than he did last week. He had more bad plays than he did last week. I don't think he saw the field as consistently as he did last week, but considering what he had out there with him, he was really good. You know, they were good enough offensively in the game to win the game. It's just the defense couldn't get off the field. He was 16 of 27 for 156 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. I think that interception is likely on him. That safety is there. I don't think he looks him off. I don't think that's the throw you make. He had a ball or two dropped in the game, too. Let's point that out, like last week. He took two sacks, but probably escaped another two. The touchdown pass to McCaffrey, I love that throw where he looks off in a different direction, comes back to McCaffrey. He had a couple of really smart plays, checkdowns to get into better field goal range on their second drive. Had an excellent throw at the end of the first half to Ertz under pressure. Had a great throw to Lane that got called back. I think it was Sinnott holding. Third and 14 scramble, for 22 yards. Fourth and three touchdown pass to Debo. He did have another intentional grounding. There was another near pick, the kid from Virginia Tech, zero for Atlanta. He's good. They got some good players on that team. But overall, I thought he played really well again. I thought it was, a B+, A-. I mean, maybe it's a B+ because of the interception, and you're approaching, scoring territory. Maybe the intentional grounding. Worst case, B+. Somewhere between A- and B+. I'll stick with the B+, but man, he was close to another A performance yesterday for sure. Also on the list of things that I liked from this game, Debo Samuel. I mean, Debo is really, really valuable to this team, especially with the injuries on offense. Debo, six catches, 72 yards. He ran the ball a few times. He was not back on kickoffs yesterday. I think they realized that without Terry, without Noah Brown, he was going to be worked yesterday on offense. And if they had had the ball more, he would have had more targets and more catches and more touches. But they put Lane back there, Jalen Lane back there with McCaffrey on kickoffs. Six catches, 72 yards. He did fumble, that one and recovered it himself. He is on pace right now to catch 93 passes on the season. 93 balls, which would be, I think for him, I got to look this up, but has Debo ever caught more than 100 balls in a season? No, not even close. Not even close. He's been just more of a weapon, pass receptions, carries, short yardage stuff. His best season was 77 catches in 2021. He's on pace for 93.5 catches this season. He is super valuable to this team right now, especially with the injuries. Another good game for Debo. I put Luke McCaffrey on the list of things that I liked. How can't you? 58-yard kickoff return, two catches, his second touchdown of his career. I'm not sure how the advanced guys will grade him out, but he did have an OPI in the game. I think he missed a block that I recognized. But I don't know. McCaffrey just seems to be a guy that can get open and can make plays with the ball in his hands. I love him as a kickoff returner. We talked about that last week. Had him on the show after the game last week. He is a dangerous kickoff return guy, as is Debo. They've got return guys that can really impact games. His 58-yarder in a 17-7 game was huge. The kickers on the list this week of good. Matt Gay, 4-for-4, including a 52-yarder. He did sail the opening kickoff into the end zone for a touchback. You don't really want those. I know Quinn doesn't want them. I know Larry Izzo, the special teams coach, wants that ball somewhere in the landing zone because they feel like they can cover kicks well enough and at a high enough level that teams aren't going to start on average before the 35-yard line, and they're right. But a good day for the kicker. No kicker worries this week. How about a takeaway? First of the year, Sanra still caught the interception that was thrown right to him. That was really Penix Jr.'s only bad throw, it seemed like, of the day. I mean, it probably wasn't his only bad throw, but he didn't have many. He was trying to layer that over Sanra still in that zone coverage to what would have been a catch, I think, by London. The first takeaway, 4 games, 1 defensive takeaway. What did we hear all, offseason, preseason? Tackling and, of course, takeaways. They did not tackle well yesterday. More on that coming up. And just 1 takeaway in 4 games is going to be, difficult. The good news is they're not turning the ball over themselves. They did yesterday, although there could have been a lot more turnovers. The ball was on the ground a bunch yesterday. How about some of the hits on special teams? 34. Who's number 34 again? Max, I asked you this before the show.
It was, let me pull back up the roster. 34 was on our team. It was Antonio Hamilton Sr. That's who it was.
That's who it was. He had a big hit. I think that our guy Cahoe had a big hit in the game. They hit on special teams. I'll tell you what. It seemed like every other return for the Falcons on special teams, somebody was laid out on the field yesterday and needed to be carted off. Lastly, on the list of things that I liked from the game, it's hard really to put anybody from the defense on here, but there were some individual plays that stood out defensively. Eddie Goldman's stop on 3rd and 1, towards the end of the first half. That was a huge stop. I don't know why Atlanta didn't go for the 4th and 2, quite honestly, against that defense yesterday. Raheem Morris is not a very impressive in-game head coach, in my opinion. But the Goldman play was a good play. Kinlaw had a TFL. Armstrong had a TFL. Payne had the ball, the play in which he knocked the ball and forced the fumble on Bijan Robinson, which Penix Jr. Recovered. There were some okay plays, but overall it was not a great day for the defense. Who else did I put? Jeremy Reeves running down Bijan Robinson on that swing pass was pretty impressive. Not a great day for the defense. Those are the things that stood out on a positive. Oh, John Baptiste, who got hurt yesterday, the pec injury, could be a serious loss again, another defensive end. I thought he made plays yesterday. I thought 90 stood out in the game yesterday as well. But again, not enough defensively to put on this list as standout throughout the game. All right, the things that I did not like when we come back, Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, theteam980.com.
All right, here's what's happening. It is Misery Monday, September 29th. We start off with the Washington Commanders. They fall 34-27 to the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta quarterback Mike Penix posts a career-high 313 yards and two touchdowns. Despite the concessions being so cheap, the Commanders' defense could not buy a stop at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Again, they fall 34-27. We look around the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-25. The Eagles got off to a scorching hot start and fell off a cliff at the second half, not completing a single pass, but they were able to escape with the win in spite of the Bucs' best effort. The Giants, they get their first win of the season over the LA Chargers, 21-18. Malik Nabers goes down with what is feared to be an ACL injury that might keep him out for the rest of the year. Jackson Dart with a solid debut, but the Giants' defense showed up and showed out, forcing two picks from quarterback Justin Herbert, and they were certainly the difference in the game. Finally, the Cowboys, they took on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football in the return of standout pass rusher Micah Parsons. An offensive explosion in the fourth quarter ballooned the total and sent the game to overtime. Each team makes it out of there with a field goal, and we get our first tie of the season, 40-40. To baseball, the Nats, they closed out game 162 against the Chicago White Sox with an 8-0 loss. Nats produced only one hit and seemed pretty eager to get on with their offseason. The Caps, they get the win in the preseason shootout versus the New Jersey Devils. Charlie Lindgren saves 20-22, including a 2-on-0 rush with his left pad. Ryan Leonard and Graham Clark, the two regulation goal scorers. Caps win 3-2. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what I liked, big plays, the run offense, Mariota, Debo, McCaffrey, the kicker. You know, they got a takeaway, some big hits on special teams again. A few plays here and there defensively, but the defense was the number one thing in this game on the list of bad. And I'll start there. Too many points, too many yards. Too many third down conversions, three in a row on that final drive when they just needed one stop to get the ball back. The Falcons, again, I really believe yesterday going into it, I talked about it all week long, they were going to face a much different Atlanta team than the team that they saw on film against the Panthers. The Falcons were the perfect, you know, bettors setup, you know, trap opportunity to play really well and to win. They were really good, and they've got a superstar running back. They've got a very talented tight end. They've got a true number one wide receiver. They've got a pretty decent offensive line. They've got some defensive players that can really play. I love 55. I love Caden Ellis. I like the rookie, the kid from Georgia that they took in the first round, Walker Max. He's good. But look, all of that said, the defense was nowhere near good enough to win a game like that, unless you have Superman on the other side of the ball, and he was not available. The tackling, I'll start there. It just was atrocious yesterday. Far too many missed tackles. You know, this was an emphasis for this team, and, you know, we go back to week one when they tackled so well against the Giants, and I remember, you know, we did a call segment, and we said, what, you know, did we take away from week one that we think will kind of hold up, you know, throughout the course of the season? And I said, tackling. Because typically, if you can tackle in week one, you're going to end up being a good tackling team. Well, they're not a great tackling team right now. They certainly weren't yesterday. I do think that this is not an issue of players not playing with urgency, with the kind of, you know, level of competitiveness and urgency that Quinn preaches. They're just not getting people to the ground. And look, Bijan Robinson does that to everybody. You know, if you've paid attention to other teams, including the Falcons, he is truly a superstar running back. And he makes people miss all the time in the tightest of spaces. He really does. But, you know, Reeves had an opportunity on that ridiculous 14-yard touchdown run by Bijan. Algier must have broken himself 4 or 5 tackles in this game. They'll have, you know, somebody will have the advanced numbers or, you know, just the missed tackle number somewhere. But there were too many missed tackles yesterday. The defense has had moments of tackling well in the first 4 games and some other moments that have not been very good. Yesterday was not good at all. They gave up way too many explosive plays, way too many chunk plays. 69-yard swing pass out of the backfield to Robinson. Hey, I got an idea. Let's not let Bobby Wagner cover as much anymore. You know, I remember saying the same thing about London Fletcher towards the end of his career. He's so good at so many things. But the thing towards the end of Fletcher's career, and you're starting to see it with Wagner, is don't put him in coverage that much against really good backs and tight ends. It is their liability. It's a liability to the team. You know, that 69-yard chunk play, a 43-yard pass to London, 26 and 22-yard passes to Pitts, a 20-yarder to number 82, Washington, multiple runs of 10 yards or plus, a couple of 14 yards or plus, too many explosives defensively allowed. You give up too many explosives, often it's because of the tackling. So the two go hand in hand. Also, it goes hand in hand with coverage. Guys, coverage is the biggest issue defensively through 4 games. I can't tell you specifically what it is. I know many of you are convinced that Lattimore can't play. I'm not saying you're wrong, okay? And I don't think he had a good day yesterday. You know who else didn't have a good day? If Lattimore didn't have a good day, I don't think Trey Amos had a good day yesterday either. I'm not sure anybody had a great day in coverage. But my point is, I don't know how much of it is scheme play calling versus players and execution. I don't. If you're about to tell me that, well, they shouldn't be in man the whole time, they shouldn't follow those motions in man. They played a lot of zone yesterday. They played a lot of man from what I could see. They blitzed. They didn't blitz. They zone blitzed. They didn't zone blitz. They're trying a lot of different things. I just don't know if they're the right things. You know, we can sit there and we can watch the games on Sunday and we can see people wide open. We can see Bijan in the slot not even covered on a 3rd and 4. And we can say, well, that something's wrong. But to just say it's a player thing, I think is selling the situation short. I don't know how much of it is players and execution versus scheme and play calling. I would guess, just like most situations, there's his side, her side, and the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I would bet that is the case here as well. But the bottom line is, it's not good enough. Okay? You can't match up, once again, Wagner in coverage over and over again on really good backs and or tight ends. Lattimore cannot be in a situation where they are motioning him and he's not able to play press. You know, Sanra still, you know, I said last week, maybe they need to move him to the outside. And they pull, you know, maybe Lattimore and put Noah Eye back in, you know, as the nickelback, as the slot. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. Sanra still hasn't had a good season. He did have a pick yesterday. I don't know how much credit you give him for that pick. It was a terrible throw. But he had dropped into that area, which made it a tougher throw in that zone. But coverage is the issue right now because pass rush isn't the issue. You know, there have been times, and there were times last year, it's like not enough pass pressure. Although overall for the season, it wasn't bad. Coverage was an issue. They're getting some decent pass rush this year. Coverage is a problem. Yesterday, third down defense. I mean, come on, man. 6 out of 12 and 3 straight on that final drive when they desperately needed a stop. You know, I don't know what they would have done down 7 with the ball. If Jaden had been in the game, I would have guaranteed they would have gone down there and scored. But the way they had played their last few drives, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see him get the ball back down 7. You had the first 3rd and 4 was the scramble by Penix. You had the 3rd and 6, which was Pitts wide open, even after Quan Martin held him for 22 yards. And then that 3rd and 7 was a gut punch at the Washington 37. It's a good throw. It's a great catch by London. Lattimore's on the coverage there again. And it's a shame because they would have trotted out their kicker for a 55-yarder, more likely than not, had that been incomplete. Today's 55-yarder is yesterday's 45-yarder, but maybe you get the ball back down 7. 3 straight third-down conversions. You know, by the way, after that 3rd and 7 to London, it's still the ball's at the 28-yard line. You still have a shot there. Maybe if you can get off the field and force a missed field goal. How many blocked field goals have we seen? But Tyler Algier breaks about 19 tackles and rumbles for 19 yards. Down to the 8-9-yard line, something like that. Game basically over. The run defense has been better this year. It was not good yesterday. I'll be honest with you. I was shocked at the end of the game that Atlanta had only rushed for in the game 128 yards. Bijan had 17 for 75. I kind of felt like he was on his way to like 150-plus with the way the game started. 4.4 yards per carry is, it's not Kroski Merritt's 5.9 for the season. Bijan is special. He's elite. I don't care what the numbers say. It was not a good day against the run. Their worst day against the run this year. And one of my keys going in was you've got to stop the run and you can't let them be balanced. You can't let them be balanced. And they were. I think their first 36 plays, they put this graphic up, 18 passes, 18 runs. So, the defense wasn't good yesterday. It's been very, very, very premature to discuss this defense after any one of these 4 games as anything definitive yet. The 2 good performances, and I would even say really good performances, were against teams that were hurting and not very good offensively at home. The 2 bad performances were against much better offensive teams on the road. I do think the talent's better, especially up front. I think that the secondary, while everyone was raving about it over the summer, Terry wasn't even in camp for them to cover. You just don't know with things like that until you start playing real games. They have given up, I mentioned this in the open, in their 2 losses, 61 points and 839 yards. That is not great improvement from last year's defense. Long way to go, 13 games left. Again, I think Kinlaw's an upgrade over John Allen by a long shot. I think that they've got, a better overall defensive front. I think their pass rush has been effective. But it's still not a good defense. I don't care what the traditional or even advanced numbers say. It was too small of a sample size through the first 3 games. This will start to, after yesterday, reflect something that's probably more true to what they are. Next thing on the list of things that I didn't like. You know what? I need more time for this. We'll break. We'll come back. I've got Cliff Kingsbury's play calling in the crosshairs. Also, I didn't love the end-of-game strategy by Quinn and wasn't really in love with the way he handled the end of the first half. That and more coming up. You can start getting on the phone lines now if you want. We'll start taking calls at around 11:15, 11:20, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. I do realize we're having some problems with the Odyssey app. Hopefully we'll get those fixed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.